Peter, how you doing?
Okay, very well.
Good. Perhaps you could share with the people some of the problems that, first of all, maybe give us an explanation of what your business is, what you do.
Okay, Link America Corporation provides their transportation services, sells its services to freight forwarders and other airlines. So we provide services on the cargo side to and from gateways like Miami, New York, where the shipments actually connect to other airlines or final destination abroad.
What kind of problems? This goes back, about a year or two ago now?
I would say about a year and a half,
yeah,
at least.
What kind of problems were you experiencing, or what was the first sign, as far as you were concerned, that there was a problem that you really needed to start looking for some kind of outside help?
Well, the problem really began surfacing when the cash flow became erratic, and also when there was really not enough cash available to meet current expenses. The type of business here also is when we anticipate certain bills to come in the future and would normally make reserves, and these reserves were not possible to make in a normal manner.
Okay. And so when you saw that happening, what was your reaction?
Well, our first reaction was, of course, to get the accounting people together to find out exactly what had been done, and it appeared that the accounting aspect was highly neglected on the revenue side, and also because of the complication in the transportation business, that if there were errors, it would be rebuilt one more time. So what it really in effect did, it created additional sales because the old error-prone billing was not taken off. So that for one transaction, you had two invoices.
So falsely inflated sales.
Correct.
But your sales at one point in time, it was a pretty substantial company. You were doing about $8 or $12 million somewhere in there, as I recall.
We averaged about $12 million a year. And so out of the $12 million that all of our vendors, which also include other airlines who do a part of the transportation, they were looking to be paid. And it's one of the ways of getting paid in the airline business is everyone belongs to the clearinghouse, so that there would be automatic draws on your bank account or whatever the amounts were that other carriers were looking for. And these were extremely difficult to make, and we did not always know exactly what the debits were.
Do you have any idea what actually caused the problems?
The problems were undoubtedly, number one, mismanagement on the part of accounting. Secondly, there was the problem of not capturing the information in time. And also, in addition to the airline operation, there was the handling operation, which was primarily a warehouse-type operation, that the cost was a fixed cost, high overhead rent equipment, and what really created the problem, maybe more so to be visible, was the Persian Gulf. Airlines dropped flights, canceled frequencies, and here we had a $50,000 a month rent of a warehouse and nothing to do, so that our costs started to overtake revenues.
So when you did finally decide that you had to turn to someone else for assistance, just describe, if you will, the mental process you went through making that decision, because I think it's kind of interesting, and I don't know what your story is in that regard, but I call it a phenomenon, for lack of a better word, but there's an interesting thing that happens when an entrepreneur has a problem, and that is that what gets us into business, our eternal optimism that gets us into and keeps us in business for ourselves when everybody else thinks it can't be done,
correct,
is the same thing that usually prevents us from acknowledging the fact that there's a problem that's bigger than life, or certainly bigger than our capacities as an individual to handle. And I find that it's not unusual for people, for entrepreneurs to wait far longer than they really should in the best interest of the company before they go out and get outside help. What was your experience in that regard?
Well, the experience really was that when it became apparent that there was a financial problem in the company, that not being able for the reason as an entrepreneur to look at it maybe objectively, I did go to the outside through a long-term attorney friend, and I said, we need some financial advice. He had worked with sort of a fix-it turnaround individual, and we immediately put him on a retainer. He did come into the office. He looked at the cash management. He looked at some of the very difficult things. Even at that point, he could not really see quite so well. So he said, well, it can be fixed, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you just follow my plan. But I believe at that point it was already too late for his plan to be effective.
This was an operational person?
It was sort of a financial whiz kid, right? That an outside that individual who felt that he basically was sort of a turnaround individual. He was not an attorney. He was simply someone who gave advice.
Okay.
However, he felt that your cash flow was so poor that you could not last another month. So at that particular stage, I contacted again my attorney. I said, look, what options do we have in terms of maybe stopping the hemorrhaging? And maybe Chapter 11 might be the answer. So I did meet reluctantly, if you will, with the attorney in his offices downtown. He said, look, what you really have to do is talk to my friend who is basically doing bankruptcies, and he can pretty much take care of the whole thing. And this is the part that was probably the most devastating information. I did not really want to go that route. Being the eternal optimist, I said that must be a way to negotiate an end to this. Maybe negotiate somewhat of a new operation in a smaller vein. That must be another way of doing this. And that the legal minds shook all their heads and said, no, there is no other way. You have to do it this way. Why don't you pay us $30,000-$40,000 up front, because we know we can't collect this from you later. And then all your problems will be dealt with in a professional manner, and then the courts will kind of take over. And again, that having a third party here taking over a problem that they cannot possibly understand was the primary reason for me to look elsewhere. I said, there must be another way.
Okay, and then is that about the point where we started talking?
Right. I did respond to an advertisement that you had sent out. And I did go by your offices and brought along the payables and receivables, as much information as I possibly could. And then we started talking about some alternatives. And the alternatives, as far as maybe starting all over again, staying in control was probably the most attractive portion as an alternative, rather than turning it over to third parties. Staying in control, even on the downward side.
So when you say starting all over again, you just mean not necessarily walking away from the business completely, but...
basically a method of cleaning up the operation, downsizing it, and also not walking away from your responsibilities, not simply tossing in the towel and walking away from it. It was an option that I felt that the fundamental business was okay. The demand for the business and the services that it rendered was there, and so we didn't want to really dump this type of thing, which had been sort of my line of business for well over 10 years.
Why do you suppose that the attorneys were not aware of alternatives?
Well, attorneys, I found my own personal opinion is that they generally are very condescending in by nature. And while they may have all the answers, that they only have the answers in perhaps the legal parameters, they don't have the answers as a business. They're not businessmen. They cannot think like businessmen. They don't have bottom line responsibility the way businesses do. And so therefore, we were not talking along the same line, and I did not feel that attorneys were really on my side, that they were operatives as far as the law is concerned, but they really had no compassion at all, and neither did they have any interest in that the company might be having a future or fixing it. They are not capable of doing that.
And do you feel that the methods that we employed then did not fall into their type of category from a legal standpoint, but more or less, while it does encompass and embrace the laws that are available to us, it was more or less a business decision. I know, you know, my perspective is that they're creative solutions, financially creative solutions. mixed with, blended with a little bit of the legal aspects. How do you feel about that? Where do these methods and techniques fall, if not into the legal area?
Yeah, I felt that after our initial conference, that number one, that I felt that you did understand the problems, meaning that, you know, from a business perspective, and also from how they can be dealt with within the legal parameters available. So here was an alternative solution that immediately became attractive by looking at the business as a business, and how can it be fixed, and how can the legal maneuvers help it and not destroy it. If it's strictly, let's say, Chapter 11 or 7, it is a destruction. Here it was more positive of how we can possibly, you know, provide an alternative, and that made it very attractive. And it was, after due consideration, the right solution is to provide the business with help, and also in a sort of package, one price does it all type thing, so that you are not going into something again unknown, which was much of the problem I think that businesses run into. They don't really know what they're getting into. And here it was a package arrangement that allowed the business to continue short-term as well as long-term to resolve much of the debt problem.
So you're referencing the fact that we dealt on a flat fee basis, quoted for the project versus an hourly basis?
It was a very attractive alternative because that hours really amount very, very quickly, and for a fixed price, that it would take care of the legal paperwork, and at the same time, all the financial advice and alternatives was included. So that was an attractive solution also, is that we could manage that package price, then not be thrown out by an attorney who might not be able to pay down the road if things aren't working so well, and attorneys have a habit of withdrawing from a case rapidly if they feel they cannot be paid, so that you'd be left out there like a wounded animal in any case.
Yes.
And that was not the situation here, that we felt that as long as it took, and as complicated as it might be, that you had someone already on your side and no further need in haggling about prices and problems. So I thought that was also a very attractive feature to the alternatives offered by your company.
Okay, so initially, your unsecured creditors, or another word for that would be your suppliers or vendors, where you started to notice a problem. But as I recall, as we got into this, and specifically, as you indicated, because of cash flow problems, you ended up having a problem with your bank as well.
Well, the bank was perhaps the biggest problem because that they had an automatic draw on the account. And since our cash became so critical, that we moved our account to another bank. So that left the bank somewhat out in the left field.
That was done by design, as I recall, yes?
It was by design, yeah. So that we needed, in order to operate, we made an approach to the secured credit of the bank and said we would like to extend the three-year note perhaps to 5 years. We would like to renegotiate that. That they were not even willing to give us the time of day, and there were many threats of, or even contacting vendors, and that they simply would not cooperate. So we had to take some action, and one of the actions, of course, was to make it impossible for them to draw on the account directly.
Yeah, so that kind of got their attention when we did that.
Their attention. They didn't really know what to do with it. And when I had mentioned that I was seeking alternative solutions and going to corporate financial recovery, that they some poo-pooed anyone other than maybe their own legal minds, and even said, well, there's a lot of people in the business that cannot be trusted. You know, what do these people do? And so therefore, the banks, probably in connection with their attorneys and their legal minds, do not give credit to alternative solutions. And that either, and I was even told at that particular time, why don't you just throw in the towel? And at least that we can, this way, get rid of this problem account.
Yeah, well, they especially don't acknowledge alternatives when they are not in the bank's best interest, but rather the client's best interest.
That's correct.
They're going to be
out. I think
out.
That at that stage, that no longer were we clients. At one time, we were clients at black tie dinners. Now we were, you know, basically tolerated. It was a total turnaround immediately from client to adversary.
So what was the upshot of all of this? What ended up transpiring? How much did we knock off of the balance sheet, to your recollection?
Well, I think that the immediate effect by going the route of an assignment, it immediately stopped the hemorrhaging, and also that I think it clearly it gave the company direction that we knew that we could not continue a part of the company, which was the handling operation, which also had long-term leases, not only buildings, equipment, services, that we could put this part of the company down and stop doing it by taking these alternatives. And then all the vendors did recognize the fact that they were not going to be paid, so why not give us the equipment back and try to negotiate ends to each deal? And that went very quickly. So we were quite successful in knocking off probably as much as $1 million in the equipment leases right away. And it stopped the hemorrhaging. It stopped also the obligations right in their tracks.
And you moved into a new building as well that was more suited to your downsizing, correct?
Yes, we were able to move into another building, which was much more palatable in terms of services, rent. It was a tremendous reduction in cost. So that the plan worked very well. It was an immediate reduction of operating costs, immediate reduction of and elimination of leases. It was immediate focusing on what product line was saleable and what could make a profit. And it gave the company hope and direction that otherwise, I think, under Chapter 11 could never be done, because you'd be constantly sitting there with attorneys and lawyers and courts, and you would have to approach the court for everything that you do. And this cannot really be done in a business. You have to be able to work with some and not with others. And also that negotiate endings of certain vendor relationships, you could do this as was necessary based on also requirements of the future. So some vendors you would treat better than others.
And so as a result of being able to treat some vendors better than others, you were able to, and this is always a concern that I hear stated quite often by new clients, were you able to secure new credit going forward then?
Yes, I think that a lot of vendors, the ones that we picked as the ones that we wanted to work with, we pretty much told them the story, what we could do, and that we could probably make up some of the past debt, but we had to work with you forward, because if you didn't not work forward, there would be no hope for them to be paid off any of the old money. So we used that as a wedge in order to obtain services, and that maybe credit was curtailed to some degree. Maybe it was 15 days, 30 days. Sometimes it was credit for a week, but it was better than strictly a cash operation, and I think it gave vendors hope.
And you were in the old corporation. Were you finding yourself to be on a COD basis with a lot of these people?
No, COD basis or no services at all.
Okay, so they'd actually just flat out cut you off, even though you were willing to pay cash. They didn't want to do business with you at that time. Huh?
Right. There were several vendors who simply said, thank you, we have done business with you for several years, but we will not do any business with you, period. So it did not leave open any doors at all. It was simply a closed deal. As the new company emerged, that most providers of services are interested in doing business. And now, rather than being the bad guy on the block, suddenly we became their best customer, because we actually were able, by getting rid of some of the other debt and payments, to pay them, and even offer sometimes payments better terms than they might have requested in order to get better services. And so from the worst, we were able to negotiate our way into the best position, and that continues to this day.
That's excellent. And what was the, now the bank process was rather drawn out, and that was probably a good part our own doing, because we wanted to stretch it out, but what was the upshot of that?
Upshot on the whole bank arrangement was that we took the attitude, well, we cannot pay you. There's no automatic way that you're going to get paid. You will have to play along with what we have in mind. So many additional sessions and telephone calls that transpired between the bank, and we took the attitude, well, look, we don't really have the money to do anything. So it took them about 6 months to realize that maybe they were telling the truth. They were trying to collect their collateral by sending letters out to our customers, which didn't give them anything, that our customers did not really respond.
Well, we'd already covered that with your clients, too, right?
Right, and we had basically said, look, you know, this will come about. And then also they've worked off lists sometimes as much as 4 to 5 months old, and a customer 4 and 5 months old may not be a customer, or it may have changed and so forth. So they make the poor job for themselves. But the upshot on the whole thing was that as time went on, and they realized that they found themselves in a bad position, we were able, again, here to negotiate a final settlement with the bank that saved us $100,000.
Excellent.
So that they went away happy, and we went away happy because it eliminated that debt and also prevented this debt to be taken over by the new company, so that the new company is debt-free. And the old company has built pretty well concluded its operation. There's very little left. So we were able to totally eliminate all the debt. We were able to have an ongoing business going forward, totally without debt. And we didn't leave any sour taste behind, even with the vendors. That there were some overseas airlines that would not and could not be paid. Luckily, one of them was had such a political turmoil that it wouldn't make any difference anyway. So certainly is something that I would recommend for any business to take a serious look at, is rather than going Chapter 11, rather than being dealt with mandated needs and procedures and follow through very costly, very lengthy, is to take the bull by the horn, go this route, and I think you stay in control. And that's what I find most rewarding, is to stay in control, and I think that's what entrepreneurs want to do.
Yeah,
also allows, I think, entrepreneurs to look at the accounting more accurately and spend a little more time with the safeguards and the checks and double checks that are necessary in order to make sure that the accounting is, in fact, a true reflection of
yes.
what goes on.
I would say, just to reinforce what you're saying, that probably close to 70 or 80% of my clients have acknowledged a severe accounting problem that kind of, if it was not the catalyst in and of itself, it certainly did exaggerate the problem by having by not getting proper financial information on their businesses. So that seems to be a major concern in small privately held businesses.
It is a very big item, really, in medium and small sized companies. And also, I think very often that high accountants that may not have kept up with all of the technology and accounting, and naturally they do want to sound good. They want to say yes to their bosses and to the owners, and very often they will hide facts for reasons really unknown, except that they don't want to show the real story, and will manufacture numbers. And then decisions are made on wrong information, and it exasperates the problem. Because if you go deep into debt, because your chief accountant says, yes, we can handle it, there's no problem, so we can take on an additional lease, and this is what it will do for you, we can handle it financially, and that information happens to be incorrect, it just makes the dive that much steeper and sooner.
Yeah. Okay, well, I certainly do appreciate your insight, and I know the people listening will also. Thank you very much.
Thank you.